Welcome to Becoming the Ultimate Coach. I'm the Doc, and this is the Doc.
And with our combined experience in fitness and psychology, we are here to help you become the ultimate coach.
Okay, we're on part two, talking about cognitive biases and how this affects your clients and you and your business. So, Dr. J, if they haven't seen the first episode, what are cognitive biases and why are they important for us to know?
So cognitive biases, like a lot of things, like there's the good and the bad, right? So cognitive biases are great for us because their function is mental shortcuts. They're things that we start to go through like, oh, I recognize those words, or I recognize those cues. I already know what this is, or I already have some assumptions about it. And that helps us throughout the day kind of filter a lot of information and kind of send it in different directions of things that we feel like we already understand or know. The problem with them is that we can overuse them. Like anything else, our strengths can become our weaknesses. And what starts to happen is they end up sometimes supporting us to make irrational decisions or illogical decisions because we're already assuming we understand something. And again, today we're going to go into a few of them, and that'll kind of illustrate how these work.
And also very important is it makes us have a better understanding of why our clients are being, let's say, difficult sometimes, why they're not changing their habits, because they have a lot of these biases. So it gives us a kind of a place to step back and kind of evaluate that and understand that, but also for ourselves and making decisions, because we all have that. So we're going to start off with illusory truth effect. So I think you learned this in sorcery school when you're getting your PhD. So like, break this one down for me.
Nice. All right, I'll make this less elusive. So illusory effect is really about when you hear something over and over again, let's say a rumor or something like that, that's not based on any fact, but you jump right in, you're like, absolutely, I believe this. And so it is this notion of hearing a rumor and believing it, regardless of any evidence around there, because so-and-so said it, your sister said it, and your trainer said it, and somebody said it, and it starts to become a reality for you.
Yeah, and it's also important, too, just because, like, so many of us are on social media, and the things we click on, they send us more of those things, so it almost becomes this thing that's very true. And so we got to be careful about this, because a lot of clients are coming in with this, like, preconceived notion of, like, you know, X is the only way to lose weight. And there's a lot of different things we can go into, but, like, one that I see that's very common is, like, well, I have to cut back my carbohydrates because, you know, I saw this doc talk about it, I read a book about it, my friend lost some weight doing this, and really it's kind of breaking down of, like, okay, what is actually going on? And so kind of understanding this person, where they're coming from, and educating them on that. And it might take more than just one time. So just because, like, you're like, well, I'm an expert, they came from me, but it's this repetition that's key, because they've heard it, you know, 5, 10, 20, 100 times. And just because you bring it up once might not be enough. So it's something you might have to bring up several different times. And it's also like, okay, you're talking to them about it, but you can also just, you know, send them a article about that. You can recommend a book for them, just figure out which way they want to learn, because they have to hear this many, many times to actually start to change that way that they're thinking.
Absolutely. And a couple of things to think about here is that truly, for it to be the illusory effect, it's really typically the information is not actually based on any factual data. That's really tough to say to a client, you know, like, oh, yeah, like, well, that's just hog crap, right? Like, you know, this is just not right.
You're wrong.
Yeah. And so, but what you can say is, yes, that construct or that concept is very popular. We hear it a lot. However, it's been taken out of context because carbs play a role, but you have to have calories and all those types of things as part of the overall picture. So letting them know that what they've heard over and over again may be out of context, and to your point then, give them either more information or help them understand. That is true under certain conditions, the situation that you're in, the goal that you want to go in. This is actually what is specific and unique for you. And when you connect it to individualization, that's going to help. The other thing as a professional that you can do, because illusory effect is really propagated on this repetition as well, is what information are you putting out? Do you have accurate information that's actually based on something and not just something that you've seen work with three clients, so now you've created it as a reality for everybody? But what are actual facts that you can put out, whether it's on your social media, whether it's in an email or newsletter that you or your facility might put out? Where can you repeat accurate information? And to Scott's point too, when you're having conversations with them, one is not done. So I need to say when we're training, when we're having our 360 wellness coaching and we're meeting and looking at their overall life, how can I weave this in regularly? So now I'm a source of factual information that will help them understand why to shift.
And this is why I try to have a list of people that I'm continuously trying to learn from. You know, like Huberman has a great one, and you know, he just did like a 6-part series, 20 plus hours with Andy Galpin. Mm-hmm. And they're just going over, you know, hypertrophy training, strength training, endurance training, all these different things. And although I've been in this field almost 20 years now, I got to make sure that some of the things that I learned weren't just passed along because it was popular at one time and then they taught it to another trainer and they taught it to another trainer, but there's nothing really backing that up. So like, that's why I have like Dr. J to learn all the behavior science stuff. So when someone's like, oh, it takes 21 days to form a habit, and I'm like, eh, not really, just because I learned from someone that actually knows the behavior science first, like 21 days sounds nice. And then also like Huberman, or you know, there's a lot of different guys out there of making sure that you're finding guys that are doing current research so you're not, you know, part of the problem when it comes to this. So moving on to the second one, negative bias.
Yeah, and that's just, and we all have experienced this, our brain naturally remembers the most negative type of part of an experience, or let's say comment. And we always see this, right? Like if somebody says 5 nice things to a person within a given week and say 1 negative thing, our brains tend to focus on that. And some of that has to do also with sort of that fright flight and that tendency towards, we're always looking for a threat. And so negativity is part of that. And so when we think about that, and we think of that people remember the most negative thing, we have to really think about that in regards to how we communicate with clients, how we shape experiences in our facilities when we're talking to them, because that's the thing that they're going to remember is the most negative. And so we have to, when they're coming to us, they also may, when we say, let's say we're having a 360 wellness coaching meeting, and we're talking about the life inside and outside the gym and all of their goals, and how was your week? They may be like, oh my gosh, like getting the protein in or the shake is just so difficult and I can't do it. And sometimes when you say like, okay, well, how many days did you try it? Well, I tried it 5 days. How many days did you get it in? 4. And you're just like, well, why is this a thing? But they're remembering that one day where they're like, crap, I forgot it. And they're beating themselves up about it. Or they had a really difficult time with it, or it didn't taste good, or their stomach didn't agree with it, whatever. And that becomes the focus. And so we have to make sure that we understand that sometimes you got to peel those layers back and figure out what actually happened and just understand that that's the part that's sticking in their head.
Yeah, I think a way to think about it as in your business standpoint too, because we have to be careful with this and ourselves. It's like, I've used several different marketing companies out there, and like, I haven't had great experiences with them. But one that I did have an amazing experience with was, and this isn't, it's not like they're paying me to say this, but 97 Displays for a gym location, SEO stuff they do, the leads they get in, it's a really good positive one. And it's not much work, and I get consistent leads coming in. Because they just have a good system in place. But if I had this like negative bias of like, well, I've tried several marketing companies, they didn't work, so I'm just not going to use any, then I wouldn't have found this one. So just thinking about that with your kind of negative bias in the sense of like, whether it's a type of client or it's a service that you use or something like that, like there's a lot of different shapes and sizes, and sometimes it's just finding that right one that's super important. But the other side, on the client side, is like, clients are going to come in with a lot of negative bias when it comes to health and wellness and fitness because they've had a lot of failures with that. A lot of people that have tried, you know, a lot of extreme things in the past. And so what's important when we first meet with someone is showing how our system is different so that we can kind of, you know, lower that barrier so they're more open and more receptive for the things that you're trying to change. So really addressing that early on, I think, is super important.
Yeah, and it's also why we, when possible, we want to avoid these all or nothing approaches in general, because, and again, I'm not going to pick on Whole30, but this is an easy example to share, is the Whole30 process, and for a lot of great reasons, but they're saying, like, if let's say you're on day 18 and you kind of don't follow it, you need to start over on day 1, because they're saying you really need this full 30 days. Well, what will happen oftentimes is people remember like, gosh, I got this far and then I fell off the wagon, so to speak, and I had to start over. And that becomes the thing. And the people that develop Whole30, they don't want that association. They're just saying, hey, for 30 days, this is really going to towards the result that you're looking for, right? This very different food structures and the way you eat and all of those things. And so they're just saying that. But if we're not careful in the way that we support people and encourage people, that can be what people walk away from. So when we do have something that's sort of like pretty intense or very time specific, we have to keep that in mind.
Absolutely. So peak end rule. This is one of my favorites. break it down for us, and then I'll show you my favorites.
Of course you will. So the peak end rule is just that people remember that peak experience, the most memorable part, the optimal, the height of an experience. And that can be negative, it can be positive, it can be, typically we like to think of it as a positive, but whatever that most memorable part of the experience is. And so when you think about that, if you're training someone or you're meeting with someone for 15, 30 minutes, an hour, what are they walking away with? And is that peak moment a sense of success, a sense of completion, something like that? Or are they walking away with this remembrance of this like most painful thing, or you screaming at them, you know, to work a little harder? What peak moment do we want them to walk away with?
And this is one of my favorite ones, because I think it's so important to talk to people, you know, when they're doing sessions with people and understanding what your client really values. And it can't be the same thing for everybody. There's some clients that come in and they just love an arm pump. There's some clients that love some core work. There's some that love just to be crushed. And so knowing how to work that into the program, and you know, it's always this fine line of like giving them what they want and giving them what they need. But if they really like that arm pump, finding a way to like finish with that because they remember it. Or if you do that ab session in the middle, that could be the peak moment. And then you're ending it with like, hey, you know, looking at my trainer eyes, you've upped your weight on these three different things. So it's like, it's finding these different ways to like highlight their sessions. So they're leaving with a positive one. You know, I remember reading about this first, and a lot of times I talk about it as like trip experiences. Like people will remember the peak part of the experience and remember the ending. So there might be other parts in there that, you know, weren't their favorite. So maybe they don't really love doing back squats. Well, you can still work in some back squats. You just got to make sure that you still have that peak part and you make the ending strong. And then they will remember that. And then you can work in more of the things that they really need. Not saying everybody needs back squats, but just as an example. And then you can still have that positive takeaway that they're having and getting in all the things that you think they need as well.
Yeah, and I really want to kind of double down or stress the point that Scott made about what people need is different across people. And although you think this is maybe what they need or this is the best, whatever they value is also going to be interpreted in that peak moment. And it's really interesting because I've literally heard people have conversations where I'll be at a social gathering and they'll talk about like, oh, I've started at this new facility. And they're like, oh, well, I thought you were working out at such and such. And they're like, yeah. And it's like, well, why would you leave there? Didn't you lose like your 20 pounds for your wedding and you were whatever? And they're like, yeah, I lost 20 pounds, but I just didn't feel like I got a whole lot of individualized support. And I'm like, yeah, but I thought you went there to lose the 20 pounds. So it's really interesting. And I hear these kind of dichotomies a lot because and it can be super frustrating for a fitness professional because we're like, you came in, yep, and you said you want to lose 20 pounds for your wedding. You lost 20 pounds for your wedding, but now you're telling me that you didn't have the experience that you wanted. I'm a little confused. And we hear that too. You know, sometimes when people will leave a gym or change a facility, the answer they give you, you're like, that doesn't seem to fit their experience. But what they wanted was, yes, that outcome is nice, but what they needed to feel, that peak for them, was that highly individualized. And they felt like their trainer was maybe spending more time on Sally than with them and whatever it is. So just kind of understanding that and knowing that peak bias effect is, what is a peak moment for me? And then how can we help deliver that? And also remind clients of those moments. Remember when you really crushed it because they want to be crushed, things like that.
And one simple way to accomplish this is, a lot of times as clients are finishing up their cycle of programs, which I usually write a 4-week cycle for people, I'm like, what do you want to have included in your next workout? And I typically get something of like, oh, I want more stretching, or I want more core work, or I want more, you know, whatever it is. I want more arm work. And I might not necessarily think that they need more core work, but if they really like doing it, I'm going to work a little bit of that in there because they want that. I still have enough time. I can do all the things that I feel like they need, but I can work some of that in there. So that's why I like to ask that from them, because it's a way to get an insight of like what they really enjoy and feel like they need to have. So as we wrap things up here, I really want you to take a step back and think about these cognitive biases that we talked about today. We went over three today. If you check out the previous one, we did three more there, and there's quite a few out there. So the more you can learn about them, the more you can better understand your clients and better understand you yourself, your business, and the decisions that you're making on a daily basis.
Yeah, and the goal isn't to have like all, because there are a lot of cognitive biases. The goal isn't for you to have them all memorized and you know, be a master at them. But it's when you're having interesting issues or when you're seeing sort of disconnects sometimes or when communication doesn't seem to be flowing the way, it's a good resource to go back and just kind of run through some and go, I wonder if one of these is going on, whether it's for yourself as a professional or for your clients. And, you know, we're hoping that we're explaining this well and we're sharing just some good nuggets, but always feel free to message us and let us know if something's not clear or you want more of something.
Awesome. See you next time.